I'll tell you who else would like that stuff. Brad Johnson. He's our Thursday morning specialist on The Breakfast Club, and he's back again with us on The Breakfast Club. Welcome to you, Brad Johnson.
Good morning, Half. Good morning, Whitey. Good morning, everyone. How are you?
Going very well, thank you. How's your world down there?
World's great. It's pretty chilled, to be honest with you, Half. Everything's good. Footy's back down at down this way, which is nice on Friday night. So it's good. We can get some crowd. I'm still trying to wrangle some tickets, Half, for myself. But we'll work through that over the next couple of days, I'm
sure. Your face is your badge. You just walk up and you smile and they just let you straight in, mate.
Yeah, but it's the 10 other tickets I need to go with it, Half. That's the problem at the minute that I do have, you know, trying to battle the Cats members down this way. It's a challenge, but I'll work through it, I'm sure.
Does Hi-Vis Jack want a ticket?
Hi-Vis everyone wants a ticket. Don't worry about that. It's always the way. But anyway, if we don't, we'll just sit at home and enjoy what will be a great game. Right. And I'll just watch the lights from my lounge room. I'll just be teased by the lights of GMHBA.
Can you see the lights from the lounge room? Can you?
No, I can't. But I'm not too far away.
Right, just check. Yeah. Who were we talking to the other week, Whitey? Someone lives across the road from GMHBA Stadium.
Isaac Smith.
Is it Isaac?
Yeah. He rides so does Sean Higgins. Sean Higgins doesn't live too far away. I understand either. So. Definitely be able to.
I think Isaac rides his bike down the hill to training or to games even.
Which is great, isn't it? Imagine just, you know, living a couple of minutes walk from the club. Brilliant.
In all seriousness, it is one of the great sights when you drive into Geelong on a Friday night game and you see the lights from a distance. It's a spectacular sight.
It is. It's good. If you come the back way on the ring road, honestly, and you pop up the top at Highton there, and you pop down the top of Highton, and you can just see all of Geelong. And normally, if the lights are shining, it's a great spectacle. It's a great stadium. It's only going to get better when they increase that, make a grandstand at the Gary Ablett end. That's just going to be enormous for the town.
I used to live about 4 Ks from Glenferrie Oval when we were playing at the Hawks in my youth.
Sorry, Harv, I don't mean to laugh. Glenferrie Oval. GMHBA.
Mate, the home of footy. Home of footy.
Similar dimensions, very narrow ground.
Very narrow ground. Long and short and narrow instead of long and narrow. And
I used to live 5 minutes from the Hoppers Crossing Footy Club, mate. So
I'm just thinking that Isaac rides his bike. I bought a pair of rollerblades one preseason.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Jono, yes. To rollerblade to training. It was going to help my groins and strengthen up my groins. There was only one problem. Like, I spent $500 on these bloody rollerblades, which is a lot of money back then. Yeah. Top of the range rollerblades. There was only one problem, Jono. I put them on in the kitchen just to make sure. I'd never rollerbladed before in my life. I just decided one day that I'd do this. Put them on in the kitchen, went ass up, and that was over. Never put them on again. I sold them on eBay for about $200, took a $300 loss.
You would have walked out of the house. You would have had wrist guards on, knee guards on.
Yeah, that's right.
You would have had everything padded up to a treat. You even might have put a Xena vest on, mate, just to protect the ribs as well.
Mate, if they had been around, I would have worn a Xena vest.
You were just unlucky, Half. They didn't have the electric scooter back in our day.
No.
Imagine how good that would have been, just to cruise to training on the electric scooter. Off you go. I actually saw, who did I see? A couple of the Collingwood players, actually, a few weeks ago, and we're doing AFL Academy stuff.
Yep.
Left the club on their electric scooters and off they went. So travelling home.
They are brilliant, those things.
How good's that?
Getting one to drive to work on the electric scooter. It's all that bit cold in the morning, though.
It'd be a great talk, mate. How do you get to work? How do you get to training? Do you rollerblade? Is that your roller skate? That's starting to come back a little bit too these days, Half.
It was an error. It was an error. I had high hopes. I did. I had high hopes.
Was the lino a bit slippery at home on the kitchen floor?
The tiles. But I couldn't stop the bloody things. They just kept going. I couldn't steer. I couldn't do anything.
That would have been hilarious.
I never took them outside the house because I couldn't get outside the kitchen. So I thought, that's enough for me. I'll put those away. That's not my go. Hey, Jono, to more serious matters in the world of football, is the game going to change tonight?
Oh, look, I don't know. It's leaning that way. I think the longer the week goes on, the more people are starting to talk about it being a bump than a football action. So I think that's... Honestly, I can't see how McKay, for me, and I said this on Saturday night, he's done nothing that the game hasn't asked him to do, from my point of view.
Yep.
So he's attacked, he's kept his eyes on the ball. He's, I think because of the bounce of the ball too, Huff, we've got to keep this in mind. It's not in his advantage at the start, but then it bounces sort of away from Hunter Clark with the type of ball we play with. So that makes it even more difficult. Because all of a sudden he's made a decision going, oh, I'm a chance here, goes hard at the contest. Hunter Clark's being scragged a little bit, so he can't come through with any pace because he's got an Adelaide Crows player in Berry on his back. So it's just the whole dynamic of that one situation. So I honestly thought that he did come through it with his hands, did have in his mind, I'm going to win the ball, and not necessarily go in with that thought process, I'm going to bump my opponent here. I think he had that ability to win it. So that's where it's a really difficult one. And I understand the outcome of it, but it's probably a broader discussion for me, Half, in terms of where it sits from the action versus the outcome. Now, I know we've spoken about this a fair bit, but there was another incident that no one's really talking about on the weekend with Wicks and Day, Sydney Swans and the Hawks. Now, Wicks gets 1 week for running past the ball and bumping Day in the head with his head pointing straight at the player.
Yep.
Most dangerous action that we can see in our game, or one of them, and he gets 1 week. That's what needs to change for me, because if we want to stop these guys from doing actions like that, we need to penalise them severely, number one. And two, we don't want to, just because Day pops up and plays the game out, shouldn't matter anymore if we're talking seriously about the head and concussion and the actions that can cause problems. It's the same with Degoe on Oliver. Hitting him the way that he did, Oliver gets up and plays on, so he gets a week. Now, that for me, the matrix needs to be thrown out the door next year, or even now, and we get to this point that you go, okay, Wicks, if that action is in the game, and let's just call it that example, if anyone else does that from this point on, it's 4 to 6 weeks. And we know, you know that as a player, that if you're going to run past the ball and you're going to bump someone whose head's pointing towards you, it's 4 weeks or 6 weeks, whatever it is. And then if the outcome of that is the player is severely injured, then the layers go on top of that. So for that sort of action, you could miss between 6 and maybe 10 weeks of football. But that's the only way we can eliminate it, because they're the actions that are potentially going to cause injury. The fact that it doesn't is just a bit of luck involved there.
Mm.
As well, and for me, 1 week for that is just wrong in the concept of what we're talking about here. So you've got a guy that does that, gets a week. You've got a guy that actually attacks the football, and yes, injures his direct opponent, but he's likely to get 4 weeks potentially. He might get nothing, but he might get four weeks tonight. So that's where we're wrong in our conversations around the outcome versus the action at the moment.
It's an interesting point with the matrix. I've been thinking about this myself through the week, Jono, that what we've got now is a box of convenience. It's efficient and a streamline and everything. Well, not everything, as we've learned in the last little while, but most things you can grade according to it. But I think, as you rightly say, there are nuances in all of this that perhaps we need to have reflected upon in new tables going forward. Like, there could be a front-on contact table. There could be a bump table. It could be a sling tackle table. They get different outcomes than we go through at the moment. Because at the moment, you just go through the box and you tick careless and high and medium and all sorts of stuff. And that's an overarching view of every incident. But perhaps with
based on the outcome, though, Half. That's the
true.
Problem.
Yeah, yes. That's true. But that's a part of the matrix.
Yep.
But as you rightly say, if there are themes in the game that we are trying to be a little bit more proactive in taking away from the game or protecting the players on the back off, perhaps we need to have a different matrix, a different grid table for different actions, and have it a little bit more elaborate as opposed to trying to make it really streamlined and efficient that everything sort of falls under the one banner.
That's right.
I think what has to happen above all else, and it really can't happen until the end of the year, is there needs to be everyone sitting down together, all parts of the game, to work out a way forward. Because at the moment it is completely confusing, and things that have been sort of changed on the run have caused a lot of the confusion. And I want to give an example around the sliding rule.
Mm.
Things were brought in to try and protect the legs of players, whether it be knee injuries or broken legs, where players can't go in low, protect themselves the way that they had done previously. Now, while that may have fixed up that, of course, a lot of confusion along the way, we have now got a situation where players are keeping their feet and trying to go down and pick up the ball, putting out their head, and that's creating a lot of problems as well for players that are still wanting to come in, turn their body to try and protect themselves to also pick up the ball. So that's, and Eyes has just texted in something like that just before. And I think these are the sorts of things that there's been all sorts of things that have happened in over the last 10 years to try and protect players. But as a result of that, there's been all these unintended consequences. There almost needs to be a think tank type thing where everyone works out, okay, what are we going to do with this? But trying to make rule changes as incidents occur on the run, I think only causes further problems. And I think that in the situation of David McKay, now, people can have, or McKay, people have very different views on what should happen. But I don't think he can be suspended on the basis of what the rules are at the time versus what the rules should be in the future. He could be potentially cleared tonight and say, okay, as a result of what's happened tonight, this is what's going to happen going forward. But he can't be suspended on rules that aren't in place as of the now.
No, that's what we were saying on Monday.
Yeah, which is, you, and I reckon the comment you made on that half is spot on. And that's why we've just, I think we've got to get to the end of the year and sit down and have a look at all of this together and work out whether the way the matrix is set up, the way the rules are set up, are they actually appropriate? Or are we just keeping sort of wallpapering over cracks and trying to make changes here and there on the run, and then we just get this complete state of confusion?
And that's where I think, and I agree with everything that that you guys are talking about. I think the whole aspect of what we need to do here has to change, and it will change for the better, I think, Whitey and Half, because we have to protect the head. And I'm big on this. I know you guys are. I think everyone in the footy world is, because we talk about the AFL level, but it's as we know, it's so much broader and bigger than that because of the amount of games that are played around the country at all levels. So we're not just, we focus on McKay or we focus on Wicks and Day, but those incidents occurring at community level or second tier or third tier competitions, whatever it is, junior competitions, they can't happen at those levels either, because we're talking about the welfare of people as well at all stages of life. So that's why these aspects of things need to be taken more seriously from us and be adjudicated harsher from the AFL world. So the flow on through certainly comes about. The Wicks v Day one, like you go back to, I think it was 2000 grand final when Long hit Simmons. We've been talking about this for a long time, yet players are still doing it and not getting I suppose the suspension for the action, because that's the type of action that we all know can break a neck or severely concuss or cause an issue for life for a player. So that's my point here. These are serious incidents in the game. And yes, because the outcome is the player gets up and plays, that doesn't matter to me anymore. It's got to be a base layer before the outcome comes into it.
Yeah, the significant deterrent or appropriate deterrent from those
definitely
acts.
Definitely half.
Jono.
Yep,
that's
for sure.
Point. It's a good point. Hey, we'll get to a break. We'll come back. I want to talk about the security situation with you as well after this, Jono. There's another one a little bubbling along the surface at the moment. The whole McKay-McKay thing this week, like, it's very, very, very confusing.
McKay-McKay.
McKay.
Tomato-tomato, potato-potato.
Ben McKay. What's he?
Fogarty-Fogarty. Fogarty-Fogarty.
It's McKay and McKay.
Ben McKay.
Yeah, McKay
David
twins.
McKay.
And David McKay. McKay.
But then there's David McKay on the wing position on the members.
It was
side.
Yes, it's one of those things.
Then there's Roger McKay. Well, McKay, the golfer. Remember Roger McKay, the golfer?
I do. Yes. I do. It's one of those weeks when they're all in the news at the one time. It's confusing. We need to have them in separate weeks, these McKay and McKay boys. We'll get to a break. Jono, stick around after this. Great to have Brad Johnson with us, our Thursday morning specialist here on The Breakfast Club. Lots to look forward to. Lockie Hunter after 8 o'clock. Carl Amon as well from the Bulldogs and the Power, respectively, before we hand over to Michael Felgate. And he, in turn, to Gareth Hall on a Thursday morning action on RSN 927. Before we get to the Saints situation, Tony in Geelong wants to talk to you, Brad Johnson. Hello, Tone.
Yeah, great, Brad, that boys. Now, the Chief was on 360 last night, made a very good point. If it was McKay had the broken jaw and not Clark, would this have even gone up? Because if you everyone says, oh, in slow motion. When you watch it, one bloke's coming in from 3 o'clock, the other bloke's coming from 11. The ball's running away from Clark.
Yep.
And and Mackay's got to change direction to get to the ball anyway. And if you watch that last drive before they get to the ball, what was Clark? What couldn't Clark see coming? So Mackay's turned his body at the last second, and Clark hasn't. And so he's been charged with a rule that didn't exist. So good luck with that if they rub him out, because they'll just appeal it and get off. And here's one for Steve Hocking. Where were you a few weeks ago when Aaron Black got whacked off 80 metres off the ball by Paddy McCartan, and he should have got 10 weeks? Why didn't you step in and say, no, no, we're not having that?
Yep. And that's exactly what I'm talking about, Tony. And I agree. Look, he got a good whack, but he didn't get the whack required for what he did in our game. And I agree with that. I think these penalties need to be stronger than what they are at the moment if we are going to have these guys that don't perform them in our game. And I agree with what your assessment of the incident that we're all talking about with Mackay and Hunter Clark. And I also think that Berry just nudges him a little bit. Mm. When he picks the ball up, Berry hits him on the back. So therefore, he launches forward a little bit off that as well. So there's all elements in the game that we understand. I think both guys attacked it as best they possibly could in that situation.
I reckon that will be used in the evidence tonight, that may have contributed. If it looks like it's not going well for Mackay, I reckon that they might use that as a bit of a potential contributing factor, which I think it was, but I think they'll focus on the intensity that Mackay came into the contest. But, so many contributing factors.
And look, we don't sit here and discount what has happened to Hunter Clark. We feel for Hunter Clark. He's got some serious issues going on here with the jaw and the teeth and the nerve damage. Like, it's massive for him and where he sits and his career as well, because he's having to deal with something that has occurred on the footy field. But I still think, from what we've all spoken about this morning, is the fact that it's just unlucky at that point.
When Hi-Viz Jack was born, Jono, my man at your house, who I haven't seen this morning on the Zoom, which is disappointing.
I'm still in bed, I think.
When Hi-Viz Jack was born, was there any danger of you missing a game of footy? And what would have been the feedback from your club had it been that situation?
Oh, look, it's a different situation. Everyone's situation is completely different, Half. And we go back to, I can't believe the comment saying that Ross and Membry would have altered the game or won the game for St Kilda or allowed them to win. Did we not see the quarter time score? 4-3, 27-0. Seriously, these guys went home because they needed to go home. Well, I don't even know why we're talking about this. It had no effect on why St Kilda lost this game. What, because Membry could have gone back to save the game because he's done that the last few weeks to take some intercept marks? Seriously, we have got to put this in perspective of St Kilda let this one slip themselves, not because they didn't have two players out on the park. Completely their responsibility as a club. And I can't believe we're talking about two guys who went home to be with their families.
Well, we're talking about it seemingly because there was consternation at St Kilda about the decision-making of both players. It got to a point where they had the conversation as an executive or as a coaching panel or whatever it was to say, what do we think about this, boys?
Well, honestly, I would expect that. If I was in that situation, okay, guys, why are you going home? Okay, this is the scenario. Let's put it all on the table. What do you need from us as a football club? And that's the conversation there. And it ends. Once the decision's made that I need to go home because of reasons A, B, and C with my family, okay, how can we support you? For me, that's my mentality of it. Not, oh, we're disappointed you're going, but we're not going to stop you. That's the wrong approach if that was the case from the Saints. So,
but seemingly that might have been it, Jono.
Well, and that's something for them to work out. I listened to Ross Lyon last night, and he's spot on in terms of, you talk about these things at the start of the year. What are potentially some things? What is each player going through that we may need to support at some point during the year? Half, you would do it with your girls. You sit there at the start of the year and you go, okay, this is our list. This is the dynamic of our list. We know this player has this situation in life. We know this is going to happen as the season goes on. How do we prepare for this now? And you've got to do that as a club. You've got to do that as a coach, as a football manager, whoever it is in that role, player welfare. You need to understand these situations earlier on to be able to deal with them when they come up. So Seb Ross has got twins and another young one, a youngster at home. he's going home. That's okay. We've got the parameters in place to be able to cover it with that. But to say that it cost them the game against the Adelaide Crows is completely wrong.
Yeah, I said earlier this morning, I think one of the key stories out of all of this is not so much the fact they went home. It's the fact that it leaked out of the football club that there were people that within the football club that were unhappy that they went home. The fact that that was leaked and then the time it took for St Kilda to get on the front foot and try and defend the players or defend the decision that was made is more concerning to me. And because when there's when there's smoke, there's often fire. And you know, and the same situation happened at Collingwood. That there was too much being said that inside the football club that was getting outside the football club. And then we look at the situation now, there's no coach and there's no president. You know, it just happens. And this is what be my biggest concern from a St Kilda supporter. It's not that Seb and Tim went home to be with their family. It's that there is some negativity, some consternation inside the football club as a result of that. They're not all on the same page. And when we see them play the way they are and we see the results the way they are, you start to question things.
Yep, and that's understandable as well. The discussion should have been had. I think
Of course it should have happened.
Okay, what do you need? Is there a way, Seb, that we can help you so you can play for us on the weekend? What are the scenarios we can look at for that to happen? You go home, you support your family. Is it still a possibility you can play? The answer to that would have been yes, and Seb has said that in a statement. I can't believe he's even had to come out and put a message on Instagram about this, to be frank with you. But that's those discussions need to be had in a calm way. The overriding factor of it all is, Seb, if it can't work out, your family is your number one priority. Go and look after your family. We'll cover what you need to do for that, and we'll get you back into this team as soon as it's reasonably fit in this COVID situation. It's very simple.
Johnny, you're fired up this morning. I love it about you. I love it. You're energetic. You're passionate.
Because he hasn't had the Nutribullet going off.
There's no Nutribullet. There's no coffee machine. There's no Hi-Vis Jack. I don't know what's going on in that house today. You can see the lights from Cadinia Park not even turned on yet. It's an amazing morning in the Johnson house.